Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning. The reading for today is taken from Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 to 31. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has not been cleansed or rained on in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Beautifully read. Thank you so much for that. I thought that passage of scripture would really cheer you up this morning. So I chose it to brighten up your day and to give you that great sense of joy in your heart. It's a challenging piece of scripture, isn't it? And scripture is challenging, and sometimes we really have to dig deep and engage together to see exactly what it is the Lord is saying to us through his word. And so this morning it's a great privilege for me to be able to join with you and to engage together with this particular passage of scripture. The theme that has been set for this week, or these weeks, has of course been prayer. And we're going to continue to think about prayer, perhaps in a slightly different way this morning. I wonder if you could put the first slide up for me. That would be really helpful. Thank you. That's lovely. Well, to compensate for what was quite a dramatic piece of scripture and not an easy piece of scripture, I thought I'd tell you a story this morning to make up for that. Who really loves a good story? Yeah, I love good stories, especially children's stories. They seem to be written at my level, and I can really relate to them. So this is a nice story that I'm going to share with you this morning. And it's a story about a frog, as you can see. And, well, if you're sitting comfortably, then I shall begin my little story this morning. There was once a frog who lived at the bottom of a well. He had plenty of water to drink, and he could splash around in the water at the bottom of the well. But there wasn't anywhere really for our frog to swim. Insects came down the shaft of the well to get out of the heat of the day, and of course the frog took delight in that, so he had plenty to eat and to feel nourished with. In fact, so many that at times our frog got a little bit overweight. Sometimes he'd look up along that long moss-covered shaft to the opening at the top. And as he looked, he could see that there was the occasional cloud, and sometimes a nice bright blue sky. Sometimes a bird came into view, and he looked up and he saw the bird and thought, that's a beautiful thing. He wasn't unhappy with his view. It was how he'd always lived life, ever since he was a tadpole, right to that moment when he became a full-grown frog. He'd always lived in the same place and had the same view. But then suddenly, a feeling began to emerge within him. I wonder what would happen, he thought, if I climbed to the top of the well. I wonder what that would feel like. And so one day, he set off slowly, a little bit nervous and anxious, and he began to climb the shaft of the well. And he got to the top. And he couldn't believe what he saw. The world was so much bigger than he'd ever imagined. The sky stretched further than he'd ever thought it did. The sky was filled with clouds. There wasn't just one bird, but there were whole flocks of birds flying everywhere. The world was bursting with life. Well, he never returned to the well. He lived instead in a giant lake that was as big as Wales. And there he lived out his days with all the other frogs that he shared life with. I wonder sometimes if the church feels a bit like that, that you're living at the bottom of the well. I guess sometimes it's true to say that all churches at one time or another may well live at the bottom of the well. They see themselves, they see their needs, they see the problems and the struggles that they have, they see their own. Sometimes they organize an event, maybe you call it an outreach event, which means that you have to climb up the shaft to get to the very top. But thankfully, those events don't last very long. And soon you're able to retreat and go back down to the bottom of the well, where it feels much safer. And after a while, you begin to think that's all there is. That this is how it is. That this is the only option. Churches so often fail to communicate their faith to their communities in a meaningful and consistent way. Sometimes national and international concerns appear to be way beyond them, so they keep their view very small. They keep their heads down. Every now and again, they may bravely venture to the top, but mostly they spend their time at the bottom of the well. After all, life at the bottom of the well is challenging enough. I want to say this morning, if prayer is anything, and here I'm talking about true prayer, prayer will always, should always, take us to the top of the well for us to see more fully the world that Christ died to save. Prayer should never take us deeper down into the well, so that we begin to only see our own reflections. And we begin to think, well, we are what we are, and we are what we've got, and we manage that. This morning, I want to think about prayer. Prayer that is passionate. Prayer that is intercessory. Prayer that reaches out to a community so desperate in need for the good news of Jesus, reaches out beyond the frontiers of the church building to a nation that stands in a place where things are falling apart, and to a world caught up in turmoil and danger and stress. And not just words, but prayers that lead to actions. Actions that call the church to engage, to reach beyond its own walls and its own desires, to engage more fully with a challenging community and a challenging nation and a challenging world, to believe again that there is really much more than you will ever see at the bottom of the well. Sometimes we say, Lord, bless me, and Lord, bless us. And somehow our prayers remain incomplete because we're not also adding that important challenge that Jesus said to his disciples, go out into the whole world and preach the good news. Don't just stay where you are, guys. Lift up your eyes and see that at the top of the well, there's a world that needs to be blessed through your prayers, and through your actions, a community and a nation and a global community that needs your commitment to pray and to intercede and to act on your prayers. Ezekiel 22 is a challenging piece of scripture. It describes a nation at a time that it had completely and utterly lost its spiritual soul. And the image there is of a nation that is on trial. And it's Ezekiel who is inspired by God to bring a case against the nation. He's also almost the prosecuting lawyer. No one is going to be left in any doubt that Jerusalem, that city of peace that God had intended for it to be, has become a city filled with blood. The leaders are breaking the covenant. Those covenant commitments that prior generations had sought to maintain. The leaders now are searching after idols. And of course, that worship involved sexual deviation and the most horrendous examples of exploitation and acts of injustice. The most vulnerable in society, the widows and the orphans at the time, were particularly exploited. Strangers and foreigners were mistreated. Organized crime was everywhere on the streets. People were being brutalized and murdered. The levels of bribery went beyond belief. Tax demands and interest rates were sky high. All of this had been forbidden in God's covenant word to his people. But the people had strayed a long way from God. They had become lost in their own needs and desires. And that was pushing them further and further and further away from the heart of God. And Ezekiel says, God is about to call the nation to account. He's about to deal with this because God is a God of justice and righteousness and truth. And the words of Ezekiel, they come in a series of pictures. The first picture that you see there is of ore being refined through fire. Sometimes in Scripture you'll find that that reflects God's heart for restoration and the process of eliminating what is bad and sinful. But this isn't about purification. This is about what will remain when God has finished his acts of judgment. All that will be left is the dross. You see, the nation had reached rock bottom. They truly were at the bottom of the well, economically, morally, and spiritually. And then again, Ezekiel comes with another picture. He talks about rain, so needed for the crops to grow. And he begins to see that those rains will stop. And it symbolizes that spiritual dryness and that fragility that will remain within the nation. And again, Ezekiel says that they've acted like wolves devouring each other. But the outcome of all of this, Ezekiel says, is that they will be devoured. If nothing else, judgment would reveal the true nature of God, because clearly this was a nation that had lost any sense of who God was and is, what God's heart was for his people. They were heading for disaster, and disaster would come, and ultimately they would be taken into exile in a foreign land. At the heart of that was the most powerful man on earth at that time, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. He would be the instrument of God's judgment. But Ezekiel is clear, God is the author of judgment, and it will be God who allows Nebuchadnezzar to be a tool in his hand to bring judgment on his own people. Of course, at the time, there were many false prophets going around saying, don't worry, we're the covenant people. Everything's going to be fine. God won't treat us badly. We're especially chosen by God. God has no problem with what's happening in our society, in our world at this time. And Ezekiel sees that and he pictures it like whitewash. Whitewash was available by the bucket load. Everything was under the surface and people were pretending that everything was okay. We are, after all, the false prophet said, God's chosen people. I wonder this morning, as we've heard those words and reflected on what was happening in Israel at that time, I wonder if that's connected for you with some of the things that are happening in our community today and in our nation and in our world today. And so in the midst of that, you get this tremendous picture in verse 30 and 31 of a wall, a defensive wall, the city wall of Jerusalem, and the wall has already been breached. And God cries out, who will stand in the gap? Who will stand there and intercede on behalf of my people? The silence is almost deafening. No one. No one will stand in the gap. No one will stand there and lift up their nation and their community to God. and to bring about change. And this morning, that message, that challenge resonates from generation to generation down the corridors of history to us here in Ashford Baptist Church this morning. Who's going to stand up to the plate? Who's going to step up to the plate? Who will man up or woman up? Who will make a stand? Who will stand in the gap as generations ago Moses stood for his people and interceded for them before God? Who will bring about hope of renewal and change for good? Who will prophetically act in response to prophetic prayer, bringing hope in a time of seeming hopelessness? Seemingly at the time, there was no one. The city has been breached. The invaders are about to come. The enemy will enter the city, and it will lead to its destruction. Intercessory prayer, I believe, is the act of praying on behalf of others, on behalf of the community in which we live, on behalf of our nation, and on behalf of our global community, our world, seeking that God would intervene, seeking to bring the needs and concerns of this generation to God. If our world ever needed intercessors, surely it's now. Surely it's now. If the church ever needed intercessors, it must be now. But in truth, it's always been now. It was now in the days of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and other faithful prophets. And it's now here among us at Ashford Baptist Church. This is your time. This is your now. It won't come back. It won't return. This is not a dress rehearsal for the real thing. This is the real thing. This, Ashford Baptist Church, is your now. How will you respond? Intercessors call for action. They reimagine a better future. They're not hand wringers who are filled with worry and disapproval. They're hand raisers who pray with faith and courage over our communities and over our nation and over our world. They don't go about condemning others. They're not self-righteous. They don't ever imagine that their life is any better than anyone else's. They just know that God has called them to intercede with faith and courage for their community and for this nation and for this global community. Intercessors stand where others fear to stand. When something is important and it needs to be said, intercessors are people who face up to that challenge, and they say with grace and conviction and faith and courage, this is where we are going wrong, and this is how God can put it right. Intercessors are those who put their body on the line for the kingdom. Intercessors open doors for others, bringing hope that in the midst of the challenges and the brokenness that we live with day by day in our communities, they pray and intercede. They stand in the gap. They will not allow the breach to be open without them being there and praying for their own. Over the last 18 months or so, I've been the moderator here at Ashford Baptist Church. And I've often just wandered up the road probably had some spare time, got too early, and I've walked through the little alleyway that connects the church with the town's main streets. It's not far, maybe 100 meters or so, but sometimes the distance between any church and the real community and how things really are out on the streets can seem miles away. So many churches are geographically placed right in the center of their communities. They only have to walk out of the door and they're on the streets where people live and carry out their lives. But in terms of praying for the community and acting for the community in the name of Christ, the distance remains huge. I wonder, when was the last time you walked through that alleyway and up onto the main street and began to sit there and see what's happening in this community at this time? How will we pray if we don't know? How will we pray if we can't engage? How will we pray if we don't know how to close the gap? How will we bring the love of Jesus onto the streets of this town in a way that enables people to discover how much God loves them? It's got to be now. This is your time, and it won't come back. Let me give you some water. Let me just pray for a moment. Lord, you know our needs. You know our concerns, and they matter to you. But also we know the needs and concerns of our community and our nation and our world. And we know too that they matter. They matter to you, and perhaps they need to matter more to us. And I want to pray that out of this church you will raise up intercessors who will knock on the very doors of heaven on behalf of those who need to hear the good news of Jesus. I pray that this church will find new ways of engaging and involving people in this place, in this location, at this time. I pray that this will never be a church that will fall short on reaching out and continuing to reach out beyond themselves to those who so need the love of Jesus and to know that they have a Father in heaven. Lord, through your Spirit, will you raise up such people in this place at this time, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.